Amen. We're not worthy of that land either, are we? Amen. Joel chapter 3. Looking at tonight, decisions. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. And let's see, Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of what? Decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Decision, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is defined as the act or process of deciding, a determination arrived at after consideration. You know, the older you get, the more you realize how important decisions are. And the older you get, the more you realize just decisions that we make, sometimes with not a lot of thought. Decisions we make that we made sincerely, but maybe not fully informed. Later on, sometimes we see the results of those decisions and we think, ooh, I wish I would have known all of the information before I made that decision, because then I would have made a different decision. I would have tried to study out the matter more thoroughly and see if I could have found a different way to fix that problem or whatever the situation is. So multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Decisions made wisely can be as valuable or more valuable than gold. Because really, what good does gold do if there's a wrong decision and it can't be fixed with money? This Hebrew word for decision here is translated as gold in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3:13, which just shows us the value of a decision in the context is as valuable as gold. In Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than what? Fine gold. Fine gold is that same word we read in Joel 3:14. Decision. Gold. Decision. And it says in verse 14, the merchandise of it. You'll have to look back to 13 to see what it is. It's wisdom and understanding. The merchandise of it, of wisdom and understanding, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So it's better than gold. A wise decision is better than gold. Same words are used again in Proverbs 8, verse 10. Proverbs 8, verse 10. And according to the context, it's translated as gold again. Proverbs 8, 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice, what? Gold. That's the same word right there. For wisdom is what? Better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So wise decisions are better than gold. But poor decisions are the opposite of gold. And they literally bankrupt our lives and our reputations, as well as hurt others. You stop and think of Pilate, the decision he made to go ahead and condemn Christ, even though in John 18, three times he said, I find no fault in this man. And yet he still condemned him. Think now, Pilate, unless Pilate got saved, later on. We'd never read that he got saved, so I assume Pilate is in hell tonight. Just think, he's thinking back of those three times he is the judge, said, I find no fault in him. And now he's suffering in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So many of our decisions are influenced by others. And just think Pilate now. He knew there was no fault in Jesus. Three times he admitted it. And yet he delivered Jesus over to their will to be crucified. A decision, obviously, he'll regret through all of eternity. Recently, I was reading in my Bible reading, I was going through 2 Samuel, and let's go to chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11, and I was thinking through David's decisions. 2 Samuel 11. In this series of bad decisions he made, in 2 Samuel 11, the first one in verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when who? Kings go forth to battle. And what was David? A king. It was the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, what? Tarried still at Jerusalem. I don't know what his reasons were. Maybe he just felt a little tired that day. I don't know. But he decided not to go to the battle. And that was his first bad decision. And then in verse 2, he couldn't sleep. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David, what? Sent and inquired after the woman. He already had a wife. In fact, he already had multiple wives. So here's another bad decision. He inquires after this woman because of her beauty. In verse 3, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the what? The wife of Uriah the Hittite. So now he learns this woman is a married woman, and she's married to one of his best 30 soldiers. Verse 4, and David what? Sent messengers and what? Took her. So here's another bad decision. One bad decision builds upon another. And now knowing full well she's a married woman, knowing full well she's married to one of his best soldiers, he still takes her, commits immorality with her. And so she gives him word in verse 5. She's expecting. So David then calls for Uriah to come, verse 6. And David tries to do some sneaky things to get Uriah to go be with his wife, and he wouldn't do it. His heart was out there in the battle. And so then finally, David down in verse 14. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. So they do. They put him in the hot part of the battle, and it doesn't ever say they retired from him, but Uriah was killed there in the battle. And so David then, in verse 27, when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her, that is Bathsheba, to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done, what? Displeased the Lord. Well, it's been a series of bad decisions, bad choices. So now in chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came at him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And he begins to tell David an example here. And you get down to verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from what? Thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Well, David confesses his sin then, and God does not have him put to death, even though that's what he deserved for his sin, but God does not put him to death. So what do we see happen? In the very next chapter, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, and verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So this Amnon is David's firstborn son. And just for a reference here, if you want it, 2 Samuel 3:2, Amnon was his firstborn son. And so Amnon's thinking about this evil. And then in verse 3, 2 Samuel 13:3, but Amnon had what? A friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. So this young man was his cousin. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, leaned from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down in a bed, on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And so Amnon follows the advice of his cousin, his subtle, evil cousin, and plays sick, then calls for his dad. In verse 6, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Do you know what David didn't know? He didn't know all of this evil plotting in the background. He didn't know about Amnon's unnatural lust for his half-sister. He didn't know about Jonadab, his cousin, giving him this very sneaky, evil plan how to fulfill his lust. And so now the question comes in verse 6. Amnon's asking the king, David, will you call for Tamar, my sister, and have her feed me? Verse 7, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. And she obeyed. Do you ever think later on, after all this wickedness happened, do you ever think David thought, oh, why did I tell Amnon yes? Why didn't I see this coming? Why did I make such a bad decision? Because the result is going to be Amnon's going to be killed over it. And of course, Tamar lost her purity over it. And just think of David. Oh, if I just would have had wisdom to know what was really going on in the background, I never would have said yes. Because of my answer, of one of my precious daughters had to suffer this abuse. So another bad decision. How many times do we make decisions without ever even asking the Lord? We don't even think. do we? Oh, yeah, Amnon, you're sick? Sure. Yeah, I Tamar's a good cook. Yeah, that'll probably cheer you up, probably get you back out of that bed. But that wasn't really what was going on. Just imagine if you or I were David, especially you men, you try to protect your daughters. Just think if you made a decision like that and this happened to your daughter, it would just eat at you, wouldn't it? For years and years, it would just eat at you. Why did I say yes? So many times we make decisions without asking the Lord, and we need his help, even on the simple decisions like, you know, can my daughter make some food for whoever? Oh, sure, of course. And you may think, but there are times when you may not have time to pray. Well, there's always time to pray. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Sometimes prayers are in silent, and they're like split-second prayers. Nehemiah 2. We find Nehemiah in a situation he wasn't fully prepared for. Verse 1, Nehemiah 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then was I very sore afraid. Well, if you're the king's cupbearer here and he thinks you might not be happy, you know what? He might be can't trust you anymore. If you are the one that's supposedly keeping him from being poisoned and serving him, that might do away with your head. He was afraid. Verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I what? Prayed to the God of heaven. Here's one of those quick, silent prayers. Lord, help me. What do I say to the king? I really wasn't expecting this right now. What do I say? He's asked me, what's my request? Verse 5, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. So we need help making decisions, even the decisions we think are simple. Notice in Proverbs 19, in verse 20, Proverbs 19 and verse 20, we sure needed God's help. Even the most simple decision might be a trap for us. We don't know. Even the most simple decision someone's asking us to make might be with an ulterior motive that's going to hurt someone else or us in the end. We never know. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of who? The Lord, that shall stand. David needed that. When Amnon was asking that question, can Tamar come and feed me? David needed the counsel of the Lord. He needed God's wisdom. Well, sadly, it's not over for David yet. 2 Samuel 13, once again. 2 Samuel 13, let's go to verse 22. It's been one bad decision after another, and now he's reaping from what's happened with Bathsheba. And in 2 Samuel 13, 22, and Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. It came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant has sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all now go. lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him that he what? He let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. Well, verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then what? Kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. Once again, David had this decision. Oh, Dad, Absalom saying, Dad, why don't you go with us? Go with me. I have sheep shearers. No, it's too much for you to have to feed all of us. Well, what about Amnon, Dad? Why should he go with you? Absalom kept pressing. So he let not only Amnon go, but all the king's sons go with him. And of course, it resulted in Amnon's death, because Absalom had plotted that right from the time he forced his sister Tamar. So another decision that ends up with another death, or with a death in the family, and now Absalom has to flee for his life. Well, it's still not over. Go to chapter 15, 2 Samuel 15. David's third decision here after the string of bad ones with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 15, 1, and you recall the story in between what we just read in this chapter. Absalom is away for some time, and then David kind of longs to see Absalom, and so Joab plots to, as a widow woman, tell a lie to try to get David to agree to have Absalom come back home. So he comes back home, but he won't let Absalom even see him. And so it gets bitterness in Absalom's heart against his dad. And so finally, he lets Absalom come before his presence, but it's too late. He's a rebel now. So in 2 Samuel 15, 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. So he's saying, you know, my dad just, you know, isn't quite with it. You know, you have this need, and there should be somebody over your section, you know, that handles all these problems. But, you know, dad just isn't, you know, quite up with what he should be. Verse 4, Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So here's more plotting going on in the background, of which David knows nothing. All this is going on. And so now here we go again, verse 7. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Here's another question. Okay, is it okay, Dad, if I go to Hebron? Verse 9, and the king said unto him, what? Go in peace. Not knowing what Absalom had planned. Here's the decision. He gives his blessing. His blessing to what? He's giving his blessing to mutiny. He's given his blessing to treason. But he has no clue what's going on. Verse 10. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. So David's decisions, his three decisions after that string of bad decisions with Bathsheba, his decision allowed Tamar to be immorally abused. His decision allowed Amnon to be murdered. His decision allowed Absalom to commit treason against him. All of these questions. He did not know that there was plotting going in the background. He did not know about all the talk going on in the background. And so he says, yes, having no clue what is really happening and being plotted. And just think later on, the heart-rending decisions. Even when Absalom is rising up against him and he flees Jerusalem, it's David's decision to leave 10 of the concubines there to keep the house. Well, even his decision to leave them there was to their detriment because Absalom immorally abused them in his dad's absence. And so they live in widowhood to the end of their times. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Just as I was reading through those passages, I was just thinking, oh, just one decision after another, not knowing what was the background of the question. James 1:5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. How many of us lack wisdom? We all do. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What we need, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make the right decisions because we don't know. Like a question that might be so simple and sincere and sound so honest can be so full of conniving that we have no clue what someone is planning. We need God's power. And along with us needing God's power, we need God to stop their power, to stop their evil that they're trying to do. In May of 2010, so just a little over 10 years ago, a man was up in Saskatchewan, Canada, at Wollaston Lake. He was a visitor to that lake and in the area, and he paddled a boat up a river and into that lake. And even though it was May, it was very cold, and he got caught in like a blizzard storm up there, and it was very cold, and the lake froze, and he couldn't get back down the river. And so he was marooned between a frozen lake and an impassable forest to get to people. And so he'd gone several days without food. He was sleeping under his boat at night, but he had no way to create a fire. He needed Brother John, Brother Matthew at that point. Some of the things they learned how to do, but he didn't know. All he had was his boat and an axe with him. He had no other supplies left. And then he spotted some electric power lines running through there. He took his axe and chopped down a power pole. And that didn't do anything, so he took his axe and chopped down a second power pole. And that didn't do anything. He chopped down a third one, didn't do anything. So he chopped down a fourth one, and finally, the electric line broke. His idea? They'll come looking for the break in this wire and find me. And sure enough, within 24 hours, a helicopter that the power company chartered, they found the break with him standing next to one of the poles. And he was rescued. And even though they emphasized to people the danger of a down power line that still has electricity in it, they still had to admire in the article his ingenuity in getting help. He saw the power line and he knew if he cut off the power to those people, wherever it went, that he would receive help. And you know what? That's exactly what we need. Not to chop down somebody's power poles, but what we need is God's help. And we need him to cut off the power to Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil that are trying to plot against us and our spiritual journey. And that's exactly what we need. And that man, I don't know if I would have thought of that, but he did. And he got rescued. I don't know if he ever had to pay the bill. Don't ask me if they have to come and find the break by helicopter. I have no idea how they get equipment way out in the middle of nowhere. But they still admired his ingenuity in getting help. And my, oh my, as I read about David, I just think, here's a man after God's own heart. And he's continually making what seem to be simple decisions that are very costly mistakes. We need God's help, don't we? Just in the most simple decisions, before we just say yes or no, we need to be like Nehemiah and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me to make the right decision. I pray that we would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us. Lord, we need you to cut off the power to the world, the flesh, and the devil that are so intent on bringing us down, so intent on trying to trick us, so intent on trying to deceive us and bring about our fall. Lord, please cut off their power and please send your power and your help, your wisdom to us. Father, it's so hard when we make wrong decisions and it affects our own lives, but Father, it's even harder on us when we make the wrong decisions and it hurts others. It can be a very grieving, Lord. So please help us. Lord, we do plead with you. Please cut off the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And please send us help and wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.